This is Lead to Serve with Ed Taylor, a leadership podcast.
Welcome to today's episode of Lead to Serve, the podcast where we're learning principles of servanthood that will naturally help us become better leaders. My name is Ed Taylor. I'm your host. I'm also the pastor of Calvary Church in Aurora, Colorado. We just celebrated our 20-year anniversary, and what a joy it is to serve God, serve His people, and to be a part of your life, a very small part of the huge work that God's doing in your life. And because you're listening to this podcast, I know that you want to improve and grow in your oversight and in your leadership and servanthood. So welcome aboard. Today's topic is teamwork and division. Teamwork and division. Now, I'm back just recently from the Calvary Chapel Tucson Southwest Pastors and Leaders Conference. We as a team get to go there every year and soak in all that God has for us. And of course, it is a great place to get some warmth when it's cold and snowy around Colorado. But because we're always giving, you know, in the events at our church, we're serving and we're giving, it's good to get away as a team to a conference where we can receive. Although, you know, when we go, we get to serve others, pray for others. It's really cool. So I'm back, and I had the privilege of having one of the sessions assigned to me, and the assignment was Vision Takes a Team, because the theme of the whole conference was vision through the life of Moses, and it was very good, very encouraging. My particular study was assigned to me Vision Takes a Team. So I want to talk about teamwork today, kind of a big overview, and division, which is something that came out as I taught this study. Now, if you want to hear the Bible study as it was delivered, it is on our app on the homepage. So if you don't have our free app, go to your app store, wherever you get your apps, just put in the search bar my name, Ed Taylor, and two apps will pop up, one from our church and one from our radio station. Download the one from our church. You need them both, but download the one from our church on the homepage will be this Bible study, Vision Takes a Team. Now, let me give you a few of the principles that will be sprinkled out throughout this podcast when it comes to teamwork and division. Number one, realize you're a part of a team. Number two, know your role. Number three, fulfill that role faithfully. Number four, fight for unity. Number five, celebrate your successes. And number six, learn from your failures. So when it comes to teamwork, I Googled some of the popular cliches. I really didn't need to. I knew them as I read them, but I wrote a few down. So when it comes to teamwork, you know, we'll hear things like, no man is an island. That's true. Or there's no lone rangers. That's true. There's no I, you know, the letter I, there's no I in team. That is also true. And how about this one? This one's pretty popular. It takes teamwork to make the dream work. and that's true. And one of the benefits that's given to you and me when we're born again is we are immediately part of the team. You could say that we are immediately part of God's team. And the best way to really understand or to grasp the value of team is to think of your favorite sports team. Even the sports that are individual, like tennis or golf, that brother, that sister is a part of a team. Nobody does anything alone. It takes people of support. And you might be a person that gets a lot of attention and people support you. But you know, at the same time, whatever you're doing, you're supporting others. There is a need for mutual submission, as we'll get to that in a moment. But remember that when you were born again, you became a part of the team, the body of Christ. You are not alone. Ministry requires togetherness, unity, and support. And Vision takes a team. And I like to share with the folks that I serve with here at our fellowship, at our church, is that we is the language of ministry. We're in this together. Everyone counts. Everyone matters. Everyone's needed. As someone once said, every member matters, no exceptions. Helen Keller once said, alone we can do so little, but together we can do so much. And I like what Paul wrote to the Corinthian church. The human body has many parts, but All the parts make up one whole body. He says, but our bodies have many parts, but God has put each part just where he wants it. And later he says, this makes for harmony among the members, so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part's honored, all the parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. So remember, you're a part of the team. Never is a team more vital than in a crisis. And you being a part of the team, you're needed, you're wanted, you're on the team. And there's a readiness to serve, especially when crisis hits, when the team is attacked, when things get hard, because you know that things get hard. If they aren't already, they'll get hard. You know, the things about trials, hardships, difficulties, challenges is they're not planned. They're not on our calendar. You go ahead, take your phone out right now. Let's look at next Wednesday. And I wonder if it says next Wednesday that you are going to have the hardest day of your life. It doesn't say that because the worst things happen at the worst possible time. I think of in the team here, you know, my role, senior pastor, I'm surrounded by men and women that have various roles because it's important, right, to know your role, to know where God's placed you. But 7 years ago, our team was hit with great crisis because my son, Eddie, died. And it completely wiped me out, took me out, the leader, the one that is communicating God's vision, the one that is pastoring and teaching this precious flock, the one that's giving encouragement to others in their time of need. You know, completely wiping me out isn't a strong enough way to describe how bad it was. I just was unable to lead. I was unable to fulfill my role. And this is where it was a great test for our team. I have to say, you know, when you think about it, you go, well, Ed, how did the church survive? Because people still wanted to worship. People still wanted to gather. People still wanted to make progress for the kingdom. They still wanted to sing. They still wanted to bring their friend. They still wanted the church life, but they didn't have a pastor. They didn't have their senior pastor, their lead pastor, if you will. So how did the church survive? Well, the graciousness of Jesus Christ working in and through our team. It's how it survives today because it's not all about me. It's about us. We, the men and women serving alongside of me in like-minded ministry, they continue to do what God called them to do, and then filled in the gaps. Of course, we had guest teachers and things and people coming out to help us, but God was using the team. Oh, of course, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. I agree with Jesus 1,000%. But the way that God has chosen to move his church forward is through us, his people, his body, his team. You know, the church isn't centered on one man, but on Jesus Christ and the men and women he gathers together to serve. And a real team, you could say a real ministry team, lives and serves in mutual submission to one another. Don't forget that. Not only are you to realize you're a part of the team and know your role, but also fulfill that role in mutual submission to one another, because we have the same goal. And there is great progress made where there is like-mindedness. I would put it this way. Wherever there is like-mindedness, there's great progress. Like-mindedness, we generally see things the same way. It doesn't mean that we agree on every single thing. It doesn't mean that we're conformed to the image of someone else. It just means generally we see things the same way. Just like Jesus, he took 3 years to instruct, guide, correct, and prepare his disciples for the ministry. What was he doing? Building like-mindedness in his training. Paul would say to the Romans in chapter 15, verse 6, he would speak of being with one mind and one mouth glorifying God. That's really cool. Again, he would write to the church in Philippi, fulfill my joy by being like-minded. And later on in chapter 2, for I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state, for all seek their own and not the things which are of Christ Jesus. So here's the key in like-mindedness. We're all seeking the things that are of Christ Jesus together. We know our role, we're fulfilling it, and we're fighting for unity. And how do we fight for unity? We recognize like-mindedness is like gold. We lay aside our agendas. We lay aside our attitudes, our opinions, for the sake of Jesus Christ, serving together in the place that God has given to us. We know the opposite of like-mindedness right here. It says, for all seek their own. Whenever you're seeking your own, walking in self-centeredness, selfishness, you're not like-minded. You aren't moving forward with the team, and you're creating division and disharmony. The word like-mindedness, or like-minded, I should say, comes from two Greek words, equal and soul. The idea is that there's unity, harmony, and agreement together. It means to be activated by the same motives, to be of like character. And what a blessing it is to be in the trenches with men and women that are like-minded, because we are in the trenches. We're in a fight, the fight for our lives. This is a battle. So important. This was so vital to our church here that we incorporated it into the DNA of our formative documents, our culture. We want people to know that we value this. We want people to know that this is important. We want people to know that this is a key part of moving forward as a team. And it's number four on our culture statements, and it's entitled, We Lock Shields. And you could even put it this way, we watch each other's back. I've got your back, you've got my back. Now, let me pause here for a second. That doesn't mean I approve of sin, you approve of sin in my life. No, don't. Remember, the banner of our podcast is that we don't compromise with sin. So don't ever allow that. Well, I'm going to watch your back and I'm going to cover for you. No. No, what I mean is that I've got your back. You can trust me. I'm here for you. And I would expect you to be here for me. And they're going to watch each other's back so as we fight the real enemy. So here's number four in our culture statements. We lock shields. We keep the battle on the outside and passionately defend against allowing it on the inside. We are united in battle. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 and 13. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Any army that fights needs unity based on authority to assure victory. The Roman army was known to lock their shields together so that they could make progress against the real enemies before them. On our team, on our staff, among our fellowship, we don't choose to fight against each other. The real battle is not against each other, but against the devil himself. We want to do away with any petty skirmishes among us so that we might join forces for the kingdom. We need to deal with things quickly. We need to stick up for each other. If you have an issue with a brother or sister, it's always the right thing to talk to them and the wrong thing to talk about them. Like-mindedness is key in serving Jesus together. And that's what we're talking about when we speak of being like-minded. We lock shields. We fight the real enemy, and we don't fight one another. And if we learn anything from the teachings of Jesus, it's this: division will destroy your ministry. Division will destroy your home. Division will destroy your marriage. Division will destroy your family. Division is nothing to overlook. Jesus spoke of the importance of realizing what damage division does and how a house divided will not stand. A house divided will not stand. And let me read to you in Luke's gospel where Jesus says, or really in Matthew chapter 12, something repeated in all the, in the three of the gospels, but Matthew chapter 12, verse 25, it says, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. Part of your role on the team is to strive, as Paul would say, strive to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. If you're involved in division, if you're helping to create division, no matter how you've crafted that it's the right thing to do and blessed subtraction and we're just going to continue because we're right and they're wrong. If God told us in Proverbs that he hates those that sow seeds of discord. And teamwork requires us to maintain unity, to spot divisiveness and stop it, first in ourselves and then in others. And as I was delivering this message at the conference, this is a direction the Lord took us. It actually wasn't a part of my notes. It was a direction the Lord took us. I believe it's a prophetic word today. I believe that it's important that we remember that division will destroy. Destroys your ministry, destroys your friendships, destroys your marriages, destroys your kids. It destroys churches. It destroys movements. It destroys denominations. I believe that when God looks at his church, he doesn't see our petty differences. I mean, he does see them to rebuke us. We know that because of what's written in 1 Corinthians. So it's not like he's blinded to them, but I think he sees the body as one. I think he looks down and sees every true believer as a part of the one true body, and that he doesn't acknowledge, I guess is a better way, okay, that's a really good division. You guys can have that. And okay, that's a really good division. You can have that. No, the sectarianism is strictly forbidden and spoken against in the scriptures. Again, we know that we're going to take doctrinal divides. I get that. And I encourage that. When I think of the one body of Christ, it is the one body of the true Christ, the one true body of the true Christ, the Son of God, deity, second person of the Holy Trinity, who lived, died, rose again, of the virgin birth, ascended into heaven. Again, doctrinally is vital. And we're going to have distinctions doctrinally when it comes to the essentials. But for the distinctions that are the differences that are secondary, I don't know that God values those. And to perpetuate them is to create division, and division destroys. It doesn't say might not stand. It doesn't say may not stand. It says a house divided against itself will not stand. And one of the roles you have on your team, it doesn't matter where you are, where you serve, what title you have, is to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That is your responsibility, that you would speak up for unity, that you would speak out against disunity, that you would be able to stand for what is right, because that's part of the battle. And we refuse to let these petty skirmishes enter into the church, which leads us to this moment in the life of Moses, where they're attacked for the very first time in Exodus chapter 17, beginning in verse 8, where it says, "Now Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim, and Moses said to Joshua, 'Choose us some men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I'll stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand.'" So here's Moses as the leader God appointed to lead the children of Israel out of slavery into the physical promises of God and the spiritual promises of God. He's leading massive amount of people, and right as they're making progress, they're attacked, which is absolutely the way it goes. They're attacked, and Amalek comes, this enemy of God. And you can't plan the attacks. You know, the enemy's just relentlessly attacking, but you just can't plan this stuff. You don't know when it's going to happen. And so Moses, as the leader, he turns to Joshua and says, "Go find some men and let's fight." And one of the things I love is that you don't see Joshua arguing. You don't see him saying, "I want to go up to the mountain." The next thing we read about Joshua in verse 10 of Exodus 17 is he did as Moses said to him, and he fought with Amalek. You know, the enemies of God are relentless and they're wicked and evil. The Amalekites were especially evil, because it says, and this is how they attacked them in Deuteronomy 25, 17. "Never forget what the Amalekites did to you as you came from Egypt. They attacked you when you were exhausted and weary, and they struck down those who were straggling behind. They had no fear of God. They attacked the weak, and when you're tired and exhausted, expect the enemy to come against you. Expect a unique battle to show up on your doorstep when you're trying to rest and you're trying to recover." And notice they also went after the weak. So if the enemy can't get you, he'll go after those around you. So it wasn't a frontal assault on Moses. They went after the weak and the stragglers. And also they had no fear of God. which tells me that division in attacks is a lack of the fear of God. And I mean, I know that's obvious for the Amalekites, but what about for you? Your role on the team is to live in the fear of God and to do the right thing no matter what, and to fight for the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. It's already ours. We just need to be in it. And so Joshua, I love this. There's no argument. He goes, he's fighting. Moses went up with Aaron and Hur to the top of the hill, verse 11. And so it was when Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. When they let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy. Now, this is a really cool thing where obviously Aaron is with him, Hur is with him. His hands are up, there's victory. His hands start to go down, there's not victory. And so they see that. Without being told, they get a rock, sit Moses down, and they hold his hands up. I'm so encouraged by this. Because the greatest thing you can have as a leader in servanthood is being a good observer and acting on what you see. It's just like Bible study, right? You observe, you interpret, you apply. Same in ministry. You observe, you interpret, you apply. And as they take a stone, they put it under him, he sits down, and they hold up his arms. And we know while his arms are up, there's victory. But many people have this mental picture of the men standing next to him and kind of holding Moses' arms up by grabbing his wrists. But try that for a while. That's going to be super weird. That's going to be very hard to keep your hands up, to keep Moses' hands up. What I believe they did is I put the rock, sat him down. They got up under his arms, right there in his armpit. You could call this the armpit ministry. Not many people want to sign up for the armpit ministry. Not many people want to be up in the dirty, stinky part of someone's life or a leader's life. But that's where it is. Ministry is not celebrity. It's work. And it is hard work. The mountaintop, often in the Jewish mind, represented prayer. And this is where the battle was won. But it also was won very practically. As he lifts up his hands in submission, God honored that and there was victory. But when his hands got heavy or tired, this is where the enemy likes to attack, remember? When he's weary and tired, then there was defeat. Can I say this? Whenever we're bickering and arguing with one another, people suffer. People suffer. If Moses' arms were heavy and went down, Joshua and the people would die and be defeated. And let's say Aaron, and it didn't happen, but let's just say Aaron's her saying, oh, I don't like this position. It's so stinky. I don't like where we are. I wish I was over there. I wish I could have the left armpit or the right armpit, or I wish I could stand or whatever it might be. While they're arguing, if that was the case, then the arms would become heavy and the people would suffer. And I like to put it this way. I need people in my life to serve alongside of me, to hold up my arms, not hang on them. And I'm asking God to give me men and women that can hold up my arms and what God's called me to do. Because if I do what God's called me to do, then I'm going to bless those. I'm going to hold up the arms of the people around me. They're holding my arms up. I'm holding their arms up. And that's called mutual submission. That's called being a part of the team. Aaron and Hur took that position of support. They fulfilled their role, maintaining unity. And in a moment, they're going to celebrate the success. They're going to celebrate the victory. It says that they took a stone and put it under, and Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side, the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua defeated Amalek and the people with the edge of the sword. But did Joshua really defeat? Not so fast. God gave the victory through Joshua, through Moses, through Aaron, through Hur, and all the unnamed men that were fighting the battle. Listen, teamwork is vital. Know that you're on the team, know your role, fulfill your role, maintain unity, and celebrate success. Can you imagine? I mean, we're talking about it now, but can you imagine them talking about this? Do you remember what happened to them? I'm like, this was awesome. This was great. God is good. And I'm sure the word on the street was, we defeated the enemy. Oh, I know Joshua defeated Amalek, but not without Moses, not without Aaron, not without Hur. And you know, it's important, although we don't see failures here, but it's important to learn from our failures. Failure is not fatal. We need to learn from our failures on the team so that we can go forward in strength the next time. Victory is ours when we fight together. When you see it here, Moses, the leader, did what he needed to do. Aaron and Hur, the servants in submission to Moses, did what they needed to do. Joshua did what he needed to do. The people fighting with them did what they needed to do. And God used these human vessels who were like-minded, one-souled, serving together, fighting together to bring great victory and the people to enjoy great blessings and to celebrate. So listen, teamwork is important, and it takes a team to see God's vision rolled out. None of us do anything alone, and we have to fight for division. One of the greatest enemies of teamwork is division. One of the greatest enemies of progress is division. And it's not okay for you to perpetuate division. It's not okay for you to participate in it. Division kills, destroys ministry, families, churches, movements, and on and on and on. Division is horrific. And remember, you're not in this alone. The best way to fight is together. Vision takes a team. I know the flesh raises up. The devil comes in like a flood. The best way to fight is not to take on the devil, but the best way is to feed your spirit. Abiding in Christ, walking in the Spirit, not fulfilling the lust of the flesh, knowing that God is on your side. And you can read at the end of the day that you defeated, you led your team to victory because you defeated the enemy. And this comes to the end, it brings us to the end of our podcast today. If you want to hear the whole study, go to our app. It's right there on the homepage. Vision Takes a Team. But today, I want you to realize you are a vital part of the work of God on the earth today. And I'm so grateful for you. I'm so grateful for all that you're doing. Even though I don't know all that you're doing, I know that at the end, I'm a part of your team in Christ. And we're moving forward together. The other churches in our community, the real churches teaching sound doctrine, we're a part of the same team. We're a part. We're going to be in heaven together, every tribe, tongue, and nation. We're all going to be in heaven together. Celebrating the victories of Jesus Christ. So let's start now. Let's be a part of what God's doing now. And let's be relentless to lock our shields and be and recognize and acknowledge that we're a part of the team. And together we win and together we lose. And let's move forward trusting God in all that he's doing. Thanks again for joining me today. Be sure to leave a review. Hit the 5-star thing on your podcast. Leave a review. It helps in the search. If you want more information on the ministry here or you want to connect with me, just go to my website, edtaylor.org, or you can text me, 720-608-0012. You can text me, email me, ed@edtaylor.org. I'd love to hear your feedback. I'd love to hear your ideas for future broadcasts. Until next time, you know, I'm so grateful to be a small part of the huge work that God's doing in your life. I look forward to connecting with you next time. May the Lord bless you, encourage you, and strengthen you in the fight.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Lead to Serve with Pastor Ed Taylor, a leadership podcast from Calvary Church in Aurora, Colorado. If you have a leadership question you want to hear answered on a future Lead to Serve podcast, please email it to pastored@calvaryco.church. And if you like our podcast, please subscribe, rate, or review us on iTunes and share us with your friends on social media. Thanks again for joining us, and we'll see you next time right here on the Lead to Serve podcast.